This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Monday morning, and we are live.
We are alive.
We're alive and we're live.
Oh.
Look at that. So busy, busy weekend for all concerned. I hope you had a good one, no matter where you were and what you were doing. Or who you were with, even if they were unsavory people.
Or what you were doing.
Yes, with those unsavory people. Absolutely. Well, Ben was with the Prism Awards people, and I saw a picture of him and Sia on Instagram. And
looking very dapper.
Yeah, both of them looking very smart. Sia, of course, was a judge, so he outranked Ben there.
Oh. Yes, you can tell by the jacket, he outranked me.
Were you the plus one, Ben?
Now, Ben went in of his own accord because he, of course, is now an agency man, you see.
Ooh.
He owns his own agency, so he's... Ben is there for the purposes. In fact, you should have been there for the same reasons, Ass.
I was there. I just didn't feel like seeing people.
So you just hid in the trees and drank wine.
Yes.
Apparently. Yeah, but Ben was there for Retroactive, which is his business, and Leanne was in the trees for the wine, really.
Yes.
And then Sia was a judge, so... you were just missing me and Gordon Pumi and...
Right. Otherwise, we were representing pretty well.
The whole team was there except for...
Leanne, how's your time in the tree?
Well, I mean...
Crowds weren't your thing, so you decided to just...
Yeah, no, and it's difficult
I've got to raise something that a lot of people ask on correspondence, because it's something that we all... I don't know if we have this effect on each other or whether this is the way a lot of people feel.
We're all becoming drunks?
No, we're all becoming quite antisocial. Oh. I mean, Sia's quite good at it. I mean, Ben, you never used to be, and I never used to be.
I used to be young.
Well, that's part of it. Look, no, it's absolutely true that it's a function of aging as well, that you decide that you want to limit your circle, and you don't want to see everybody all the time. You want to see the people you want to see. I get that. But I do worry that we're all a little curmudgeonly in our old age, because...
Leanne in the tree.
And the thing I'm worried about is not us, because we're not going to change us. You know, it's not like Ben suddenly developed this need to be around people all the time. But it's bad for Sia to be around us with our curmudgeonly...
We've been through this. Sia's a strong enough character to not have to be dragged down by...
Yeah, he'll be fine. But
Sia's always going to be Sia.
I don't think...
he'll be fine.
I don't think it's so much us that have changed, but maybe society.
In what way?
That we don't want to be around them anymore.
Well, there's less incentive nowadays.
So I watched this this brilliant... It's like what would you call it? A mini-series by Ricky Gervais, Afterlife?
Yeah, it's like a... It's
about,
a comedy series.
What, 6 episodes?
Yes. I've looked at it on YouTube.
It is so good.
What's it about?
Well, it's sad. I mean, it's about this guy who... And for Ricky Gervais, it's sad, but it's just absolutely brilliant, and there are moments where you actually laugh out loud. Like, I was watching it in bed last night, and I started laughing out loud at one point.
Which is like every episode, really.
Yeah, every episode there's something in it that's ridiculous and hilarious. I mean, Ricky Gervais is a clever guy, and he's also kind of antisocial, and in this miniseries, he very much has a character who's terrifically antisocial and just doesn't care anymore because his wife has died.
Oh.
And he just reckons he doesn't have to be polite to anyone, and he doesn't have to make an effort with anybody. And he's just like, he's walking his dog in the park, and some fat, ugly, hairy guy stops and says, "You know, you've got to keep your dog on a leash." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, thank you for that." And then as he goes to put the leash on his dog, he goes, "No, sis Brandy, he is not a hairy, ugly, fat cunt." So he really doesn't care. And that's the first episode. He doesn't care about people. And there's this fat woman in a bed in a hospital. And
hang on a second. Before you go, his job.
Yeah, he works for a little newspaper.
He's a reporter for the town newspaper, which adds to the whole how he couldn't give a shit about life.
Because the town newspaper is obviously one of these local newspapers. So it reports on, you know, some guy whose pipes leaked in his house, and on his wall is a sort of... It looks almost like the stain that has been made is Kenneth Branagh's face. You know, okay. It's this kind of stuff that he has to report on. So he doesn't care. He really doesn't like people. And he goes into this hospital. There's this fat woman in the bed, and she goes, "Yeah, I slipped down this bank and I fell, and then this spike went right through me side. But it went through me, and my doctor said it's because of me fat that I was saved." And he goes, "No, not really." And she looks at him, and he goes, "Well, if you were thin, you would have just landed next to a spike." So it would have been you and the and she looks at you and goes, yeah, it's probably right. So he doesn't care. He's just meaningless and like life doesn't matter to him.
And it's also like a stab at British culture as well, because it is that mundane.
It is. And people who live in these little towns in Britain do have these meaningless lives where, honestly, a stain on your wall that looks like Kenneth Branagh deserves the front page in your local newspaper. Because there's nothing happening. And we don't appreciate often in South Africa how much news we have, how much actual stuff is going on.
The fact that we're a developing country.
Yeah, there's, I mean, look, a lot of it is infuriating, but there are things happening all the time that are quite exciting compared to the life of the average person in the first world. And some people want that. I mean, I get it. Some people are very into the humdrum,
simplicity,
calm, predictable. Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So the point of the story is, the reason I'm telling you this, is because this is the most beautiful illustration, because by the end, he's a much happier guy. He starts getting over his wife.
Spoiler alert.
No, but he starts realizing like there's more to life. And certainly I don't...
Well, his dog taught him that early on. If it wasn't for the dog, he probably would have committed suicide.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
But it's lovely. I mean, it sounds very sad, but it's a lovely story. And you can watch it all in one sitting.
It's very true to his personality.
Yeah.
And also his love of animals.
And his sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because he's reviled by some people on Twitter. He doesn't care on Twitter. I mean, Ricky Gervais on Twitter is like... He's one of the only people that I still follow and care about, because he doesn't care. Like if someone attacks him or someone says, oh, you know, animals, this, that, and he just lashes out at them. He's not there to be popular. And he doesn't care whether you like him or not.
But it's Ricky Gervais himself, just like the show, it's a wonderful study of how life works. So if Ricky Gervais was poor, his opinions nobody would care, and he wouldn't be able to make the opinions because he would need to aspire somewhere to achieve wealth. The fact that he's got money, he can give like zero fucks, because he doesn't need employment. He doesn't need to impress anybody. So he can stay and do whatever he wants. That must be the most liberating thing.
I didn't meet him. I saw him at an arm's length when I was in New York. He was on the Harry Connick Jr. show the day that we were taping there. And he told a really interesting story about how before he was 40 years old, he really didn't have any success at all in his life.
Yeah,
he was a complete, he was a nobody. And he'd done nothing of significance. He'd been kind of working behind the scenes. And he had those shitty jobs like he portrayed himself to have on The Office.
Mm.
And that was his experience. 40. He waited until he was 40 before he had felt the taste of any success.
I don't think he waited.
Well, it wasn't a choice.
Okay, sure.
I'm just going to sit on my ass until I pass my prime, and then I'll be really big.
But this should give people hope. If you're sitting in your 20s and everybody's in a hurry, right? You're sitting in your 20s and you're like, oh, it's just not happening quickly enough for me, and why am I not a millionaire yet? And, you know, people have these unrealistic expectations. Here's Ricky Gervais, who I can guarantee is more talented than most of us, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he only got that taste of success in his 40s. And now he's loving it. I mean, life is great. By the way, the other thing that he does online is he's just constantly ripping his wife, which is hilarious because she doesn't interfere and she doesn't...
She's not a feature.
No, but he says terrible things about her online and people find it very funny. I think she must find it very funny because she lets him get away with it.
And I'm surprised. They've
healthy
been together,
relationship.
They're like high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
They've been together for years now.
Well, she must have sat through those boring 40 years then.
She really did. But like someone actually asked him in an interview about, you know, what do you attribute your success to? And he's like, well, you know, my wife, whatever. But no, you've actually done nothing for my success. It was all me. You didn't do much.
Sounds right.
It's a great series. So if you get a chance to watch it, it's called Afterlife.
How many episodes? You said
six,
seven.
Yeah, no, six episodes. Okay. Five or six. It's very, very good. And it's short. Like each episode's, what, 25 minutes or maybe 30 minutes. You could watch it in one sitting, honestly.
Mm.
And last night at 3 a.m. or this morning at 3 a.m., Game of Thrones, brand new episode.
You're a throner. What's the term? Game of Thrones.
Is it a throner?
I don't know.
Jesus, that sounds bad. Hey, man, I'm a throner. Like, just give me one more hit.
Yeah.
give me one more episode of Thrones, man.
That sounds right.
Okay, so...
Did it matter to you? Did you watch?
No, I have never cared so much about any movie or TV series that I would be willing to sacrifice 3 a.m.
Yeah,
because exactly. There was a screening at 3 a.m. I know some people were watching it live on the internet. There were all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, I'll wait till tonight. I'm a big fan, but like I was saying to Sia, I now have to remind myself. So I'm going to read some articles just to get a refresher, because I honestly don't remember what happened at the end of the last episode.
I've only watched 20 minutes of season one, episode one.
Right, so you're so, way better.
If I had to catch up.
You might struggle more than Gareth.
How much of my life would I have to put on hold?
18 years.
This whole week.
Leanne.
If you started watching episode two, season one now, you would be ready for the first new episode in about a week or two.
Yeah, but yeah, you're actually fine, because you won't even understand the spoilers if you were to come across the spoilers.
Correct. No, I have no... I'm like Ricky Gervais, I just don't care.
You would basically be like, what does Bran Flakes have to do with a white dragon?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, now, for you who watches the show, are you now going to stay off the internet today? Because isn't it just going to be riddled with spoilers and things?
Yes, exactly. But there's better things to worry about in this world. It'll be okay. I will last until tonight. It'll be fine.
You're not going to go on the internet, basically.
I'd live on the internet.
Okay, so you have to.
But you can create how you get it. Like, I also don't see child porn every single day. You know, there's various ways of curating
only
what you see.
Only on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Wednesdays and Fridays. Those are the big ones.
I don't know if you can compare the two in that way.
I know. It's a loose and rough comparison here. Yeah. But at the same time, there's certain things. Like, if I'm not going to sit on Twitter over and over and over and refresh my page today. Sure. I'm not going to be on Facebook, because Facebook's mostly boring and a waste of time. So unless I'm physically going to websites,
yeah,
sure. I'm not going to talk to people who pride themselves on waking up at 3 a.m. Like,
so, well, Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram, they were all down yesterday for a number of hours.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, yeah. I was so relieved. I had a nap.
Finally, you got some sleep.
I was like, well, if no one can get hold of me, this is the perfect time to sleep. And I felt so good afterwards.
It all works out. All right. So I was actually, a friend of mine was hosting a screening for Game of Thrones this morning. And I'm just like you, Leanne. I think you made it through 20 minutes of the first episode of the first season.
As soon as I realized it wasn't real, I just switched it off.
What? I'm not even exaggerating. I didn't make it through the first scene. All I remember was there's a dude who gets onto a horse.
No.
This is the first episode of the first season.
One.
Oh, right. Okay.
All I know is there's a dude on a horse who then rides through a forest and there are white things around. And I was like, yeah, not for me.
Not for me. I'm exactly the same.
But, you know, my friend was hosting this massive screening and the people all decked out. It was a proper party. So I thought, yeah, screw it. I'll sacrifice some sleep for it. And there were people who were
super. So you did it this morning?
He was up at 2 a.m.
I stayed outside chatting to people while there were people inside watching the actual.
How do you look remotely normal right now? You did an award ceremony last night, and now you. And then you were up at 2.
So you take some hardcore drugs.
He's young.
Just
he's
understand
young,
I'm
yeah,
going
we
to.
We were once there.
I'm going to pass out at like 10:30 this morning. But yeah.
I went to bed at the normal time, and I needed extra face cream this morning.
There were people who were properly committed. I was asking Gareth, I was like, who's the lady with the red? And he says, the red lady. And I'm like, oh, right. Original title.
She used to be here on the Fashion Lab show. She used to do a podcast at Cliff Central too.
That's right.
You should really have remembered her by now.
But people were decked out in costumes. The episode was like 50 minutes, which debunks everything that we've been hearing thus far. We've been hearing each episode is going to be like a movie. It's going to be 90 minutes. It's long and no spoilers, but everyone who watched it said they're really, really impressed by it and looks like it's going to be an exciting season. So, yeah, if you're a throner, it's exciting.
I'm very keen. I'm very excited. I'm more excited about something else. I feel Ben may be as well.
The new
Star Wars trailer came out on Friday.
So this is another thing.
We are not talking Leanne's language at all. The height of today's show was wine in the trees. Star Wars, the one where it started
at number three, and then it went backwards, and then
yes, all okay. right, stop yeah, well
it. Right. There, you're a fan.
So I'll tell you why I'm excited about this one. I mean, the last two movies have been shit by everyone's estimation, right? I mean, honestly, Rogue One and the Han Solo movie were better.
Yeah,
these two have been absolute shit. They've been social justice warrior infused. Let's put all the important roles in the hands of women, which is completely the opposite of what George Lucas did in the 1970s and 80s. It's a whole thing about politics. It becomes about the strong versus the weak. It's just pathetic. The last two movies have been absolute bullshit. I haven't enjoyed them. It's irritated me no end. And then they save themselves. The last 2 seconds of this trailer is all that matters, and I'll explain what I mean in a moment. Just I'll just go with it. I'll give you a brief intro, and you can always watch it yourself. It's short. So just this is Ray breathing like
the
she's...
wrong clip.
No, this is the one.
Sounds sexy.
This is
the last thing on your laptop last night.
She's standing in the middle of this desert, and she's breathing, and then she looks to the horizon.
Touching
herself. We've passed on all we know.
Shut up.
A thousand generations live in you now.
It's obviously Luke's voice.
But this is your fight.
All of this does nothing for me, by the way. You'll see at the end why I'm excited, but this is a pretty impressive scene anyway. This TIE fighter comes along, heading straight for her.
Oh, she brought out the saber.
She brought out the lightsaber. And then she jumps up into the air and over this thing. And obviously, it says this Christmas, with like scenes of fighting and spaceships and all kinds of crap.
I'm in for the music.
Yeah, that music's good. Lando Calrissian makes a return. The saga comes to an end is what it says.
Oh, thank goodness.
So I can't wait to hear from all the non-Star Wars fans.
Please be with you.
Are they not going to watch?
No one's ever really gone.
No one's ever really gone? The only reason I care is that laugh at the end.
That the old emperor.
Is that an evil person?
That's the emperor.
Right.
He's the baddest motherfucker in history. He is the only character from fiction that I ever liked.
Oh.
He was Darth Vader's boss.
Ooh.
He was the most evil man of all time. Ever.
It's actually so true. He was Darth Vader's boss. Yeah, like Darth Vader couldn't go and leave unless this guy said yes.
So if they bring him back,
uh-huh,
I'll put up with their shit for the last two movies.
And this is coming only in December.
Wait, hang a second. Last two movies. So is that not the end? Well, you just said the saga ends.
Yeah, no, that's where the trailer ends.
Yeah, but
that's all we've got.
But the trailer says the saga ends. So is that not the last movie?
Yeah, so this will be the last movie.
So you said you didn't enjoy the last two before this.
Yeah.
Is there something to be said about the fact that Star Wars was sold to Disney? Do you think it's Disney's impact on the franchise?
Of course, yeah.
Disney's run by a bunch of like lefties.
Well,
and
we all know Mickey Mouse is a tyrant of a megalomaniac, capitalistic, greed-mongering.
He's basically Hitler.
I don't mind any of that if they made it better. All of that has no output, no necessary effect on the quality of the product. It should improve it, if nothing else, because Disney's got tons and tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking a great story, right? The first three movies, great story. The next three,
touch and go.
But dodgy, but it's a prequel. So, I mean, you call it what you want. I didn't mind those. These three, so far, crap. And I think it has got, it's Disney's mindset. It's Disney's ideology about these things. They can't make it, you know, there were love stories, there was real stuff in those previous movies. It was real. It felt like a proper hero's journey.
Yeah, see,
this one's all over the place.
The last few movies have kind of confused me because there was always like the central big story,
mm-hmm,
and then there was like this B-team kind of story that was going on where they were qualifying characters. And as great as that is, that's for like book nerds. And I have all respect for book nerds, but I don't need to know all the story. I need to know like the big thing.
Right.
Like keep me on the highway.
Right. And they killed off everyone. They killed off Han Solo. They killed off Luke Skywalker. Killed off Leia. Well, Leia's died in real life, but they'll kill her off as well.
Didn't they use some CGI to bring her back?
I don't know. This is what the third movie will hopefully reveal. But anyway, I'm excited about it because the Emperor's coming back. That's all I care about. I hope he wins.
Okay. Between Game of Thrones and Star Wars, you have Leanne and I's attention.
I know. Were you? What a geek out of a weekend.
We know exactly what you're talking about.
She's actually fallen asleep. Huh?
Leanne?
Pardon?
Huh? Leanne?
What?
Oh, are you still there?
Oh, sorry, yes. I am now.
How's the sleep apnea thing going, by the way?
I have my moments with it, hey. I sometimes wake up with it, as I've said before, with the mask on my forehead, and I feel like a miner with a lamp on my forehead. I do get blisters where the mask has been.
Oh, my God. It's just unreal.
My life's a struggle.
So yesterday I managed to also go and get some exercise in. I don't know what it is, but everybody seems to be talking at the gym I go to about elections. Keep bumping into people. Yeah, and they
funny
want
that.
Just whatever new South African news channel you put on, it's all elections.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the elections that much.
Why are people even talking at gym?
Oh, people come up to me and talk to me. I mean, I don't know what that is. Maybe I should be grateful for it because occasionally I'll learn something from one of these people I talk to. And
I saw the first poster of the Good Party.
Oh, yeah?
And it's Patricia and two other women all standing in a row facing, like looking into the future. It looks like they're about to board a spaceship.
Oh.
It's probably the poster for the new Star Wars.
It could be. Could be.
Patricia's just taken Lando Calrissian, scratched his face off, and put her own on.
Hey, you need to get your coin somewhere.
And also, who outside of the Western Cape is going to vote for her? No one, right?
No. I think that the good party's going to be very average.
Very good question, Leanne.
Bev says, how did I miss Wednesday's show? CliffCentral.com catching up, and it's fucking hilarious, she says. Thank you, Bev.
That's impossible. I wasn't here.
Someone here says they signed a 2-year, 20 gig a month contract after hearing about it on Cliff Central. Yeah, that must be the Telkom Lit bundle. Oh. Very nice. Pig Spotter is very proud to be co-hosting Smart Driving, which you can also go and download from cliffcentral.com. And then someone said Afterlife was an amazing show. It helped me through some very tough stuff in my personal life. Hmm. Well, you see, and this I would say is a very good idea if you know someone who's going through like bereavement or whatever, because the show's funny, but it's also very touching without being lectury. Migs says, Gareth, after all these years of watching the series, is House of Cards in the US worth watching? Even after everything that's happened to it. I really liked the first 3 seasons of House of Cards, and then I tailed off. And I felt the same about a series I watched called Designated Survivor with Sutherland. What's his name? Kiefer Sutherland.
From 24.
Yeah. So I watched the first season of that and I liked it. And then the second season just got really shitty really quickly. So I stopped watching it. So I don't know. And Vinyl. Do you remember Vinyl? That started off so well and then they canned it. So yeah. I honestly don't know.
I think like that Scorsese guy or whatever, he was like, oh shit, these actual series are hard work. Because you get all these guys coming in like big movie people. Oh shit, we got to make so much of this. No, I just want to make one movie.
And then, good morning guys. This is from someone who doesn't give their name. Just need to brag a little. Most of the time, working days in the construction industry are quite terrible. But today, but sometimes there are perks. Because most of the workforce live far away, our Easter weekend is an extra long one. So this week is a short week for us. We're off from Thursday until Monday. That's 12 days, Monday the 29th. It's 12 days off without putting in leave.
Ooh.
Well, the next 4 weeks are short weeks. The next 4 weeks are 4-day weeks. Oh, Leanne. She's
I'm allergic to public holidays.
So that's exciting. For anybody who wants to have long weekends, this is like a bumper crop of them coming up. Why are you shaking your head?
Because my mother's here. She arrived on Friday. And she's spending the next couple of days, including this long weekend with us. And
oh my gosh, how much prep did you do at home?
Do you remember on Friday we were talking about weekend plans and I said, I have zero plans, I'm ready to go home. Oh no. You know, mothers, they bring arbitrary random chores and was just chock-a-block of my whole weekend revolving around her, and I know the next couple of days will be like that as well. So
you walk around with your mother's head in your voice, imagining what she'll say. It's like, why haven't you fixed that curtain? Why do you put that pot over here? Look at your fridge, it's empty.
So I'm excited for time off, but I'm not exactly excited to spend it with my mother.
Oh my God, I don't. Yeah, that's quite tough. That's a hard thing to deal with. Oi. All right, are you ready for the five things?
Yes.
All right, let's not waste any time then. Let's get straight into the stories that you want to know about today. The SABC are set to face off with Chris Murray-Ling after finding him guilty of gross negligence. How's that? Apparently, the SABC is very pissed off with Chris Murray-Ling after a disciplinary inquiry found him guilty on 3 of 4 charges. Comes as the cash-strapped public broadcaster attempts to recover from years of mismanagement, which left the institution financially constrained. Murray-Ling is accused of falling short in performing his duties as a director and of gross negligence in the secondment and payment of an employee. Yo, there are so many rules. I mean, listen, I'm no cheerleader for Chris Murray-Ling, but I will say this, that I was quite pleased that they'd appointed someone who had some journalistic experience when they appointed him. It turns out you need to be quite experienced in running a business and in what the laws and the rules around running a business, especially a parastatal, happen to be. He didn't have those, obviously, so there is trouble. And so Chris Murray-Ling looking like he's on very uneasy ground at the moment in terms of his relationship with the SABC. So we'll have to see what happens there. But they're going to face off against each other. He's also guilty, apparently, of departing from company policy when he appointed Carmen Schneider for a period of 3 months for a position that did not exist. Question is, who's Carmen Schneider? Last month, the SABC told Parliament the cash flow is depleted and cannot honour payments to service providers. However, National Treasury has agreed to grant the broadcaster interim relief. So there's another useless company that really should just go underground. And I said that once at a conference, and I got lots of people just complaining and saying, oh, it's very unkind of you, and how can you say that, and we need a public broadcaster, but actually I don't think we do.
No.
I think these days...
No, not anymore.
You know, these days there are enough avenues for people to find news, and don't tell me that crap about the poor. The poor have data just like the rest of us. They prioritize it.
And the poor know where to go. The public broadcaster will just propaganda crap around election time.
Right. I mean, the poor shouldn't be held hostage by a crap media organization like the SABC anyway.
Exactly.
So, I mean, just because you are comfortable with the soft bigotry of low expectations doesn't mean that the rest of us should be. The Democratic Alliance has said it has evidence that recent protests in the DA-led municipalities were orchestrated by the ANC. But it has proof. That's what they're saying. So they held a press briefing earlier on Sunday. Musi Maimane and leaders from the municipalities. Right. He says they'll give the National Police Commissioner their evidence and will be laying a formal complaint to the IEC against the ANC. But we kind of know this. I mean, Cyril Ramaphosa made this ridiculous promise last week to the people of Alexandria that he's going to build 1 million houses and he's going to start next week.
And as you said, they won't fit in.
Well, if they had...
Physically.
Yeah, they won't have space. But even if they had all the land in the world tucked between those two highways where Alexandra is, even if they had all the space in the world, he said they're going to build 1 million houses. That means he has to build 500 or so houses a day. Now, I do not see that happening. The ANC can't even put the right amount of coal into the right burner at Eskom. So I don't believe for a second they're going to be anywhere near that. It's just a disingenuous, deceitful thing for the president to say that to the people of Alex. He's placating them. Talk about the soft bigotry of low expectations.
But if the people of Alex hang on to any of those words, then they really are. It's just there's no hope for them. Because they can't be believing this kind of shit still. They really can't.
Meanwhile, Ace Magashule denies he's buying votes, but who believes him? Here he is actually talking about it, and you make of this what you will. This is the Premier of the Free State. Sorry, the Secretary General of the ANC. He used to be Premier of the Free State.
Nonsense. Because when you find a family with no food inside the house and you give them 400 rand, comrades contribute to hand them over 400. It's not buying votes. I can't buy votes of millions. It's not one person voting the ANC. What I did for that family is the right thing to have done.
Okay, so he's not denying he didn't give them money.
Yeah.
See, straight away, he doesn't understand. He thinks that if he can tell a story that sounds compassionate, that he's not doing something illicit. If a politician gives you paper money...
Would you?
I wouldn't take anything from a politician because nothing's free.
So say you were offered, I don't know, it's ridiculous, but maybe 50,000 rand to vote for a certain party?
I was offered somewhere in that range to host a campaign party for one of the big political parties. Was the ANC? I'll tell you straight up, and I said no. I wouldn't work. Now they're not giving me anything for free, but I wouldn't even MC a function of theirs because
but
I didn't
that's
want.
Like a public
I
thing.
Didn't want to be perceived as being partisan. Mm. I've never gone to a DA fundraiser, an EFF launch, or an ANC thing. I was asked by Jeff Radebe once to go and MC one of their functions, and I said I can't. I'm not political. I'm interested in politics, but I will not be.
But what if it was a private box where it was anonymous, and you had to place your ex?
No, because you know you're there. You know, there's something about that. You know, honesty and integrity are what you do when no one's looking. So it doesn't matter who else saw. I wouldn't do it. Anyway, here's Ace. He's saying, yeah, I gave him $400. It's not buying votes, though, because they were hungry. It doesn't matter what the reason is that you give them the money. If you're being compassionate or if you're trying to buy their vote, the fact is a politician is giving money, which is doubtless not his money. I'm almost willing to bet the bottom dollar that what this is it's money that either he has received in some illicit fashion, if you just read Peter Louis Myberg's book, or it's straight out of the taxpayer, in which case it's not his gift to give. And frankly, he shouldn't be handing out $400 to anybody unless he's cleared it with the appropriate authorities. So just not acceptable. And if he's buying votes that way, that's what it's called. It's buying votes. He says he's looked in her fridge and she has no food. Well, you know what you should do then? You should run the province a little better so that people aren't impoverished. Give them jobs. Create opportunities for people to start businesses.
Empower.
And stop stealing.
Is it too much to ask for?
I mean, really? And then a friend of mine got back from Everest Base Camp the other day. He and his dad went climbing, which amazing. He showed me some footage. But they were picked up by a helicopter on the way down. Because that's what they do with a lot of people. So three people have apparently died and four others have been left injured after a plane and a helicopter crashed into each other near Mount Everest.
Jeez.
The air is quite thin.
What are the chances?
I know. It's believed a small plane crashed into a helicopter while taking off from an airstrip. The plane's pilot, the helicopter's pilot, and an airport worker were among the injured. They were flown to Kathmandu for medical treatment. Four other passengers on board the plane were unhurt. So that's at least good news. No one's dead.
Mm.
Oh, no, sorry. No, three are dead.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, according to the headline. They don't mention that in the story. Three are dead. So two planes that crashed at Mount Everest. And then, finally, of the things you need to know today, another one dead, this one in Australia, after a nightclub shooting. See, so Australia is so safe. I mean, I hate to say this.
Don't
because
get me onto it.
Where did they get the gun from?
My uncle's been in action again.
I was going to say, send this link to your uncle and see what he says now.
So you know, people are always talking about how dangerous certain places in the world are. Oh, I would hate to live in Afghanistan or South Africa. I'm going to go to Australia. It's safe. So in Melbourne, a security guard is dead and another man is fighting for his life after a drive-by shooting at a popular Melbourne nightclub. Police said Sunday amid a spate of gun violence in Australia's second largest city. Now, let me remind you, because there are a lot of people who argue for gun restrictions and laws against gun ownership. I believe that lawful gun owners are some of the most decent, law-abiding, honest, and dependable people in society. But when the government tries to remove guns, this is what happens. Only bad people end up with them. Because bad people don't care about the rules you make. I wish they'd get this into their thick heads, these politicians. And by the way, also the anti-gun lobby. The rules do not apply to criminals. Criminals don't give a shit about your laws. That's why they're criminals.
Yeah.
They're not law-abiding. Right.
Yeah.
So if you try to ban guns, guess what you're doing? You're taking away guns from people who will follow the law that you've created to ban guns. You're not taking them away from bad people. You're taking them away from good people. And guess what happens when all the good people's guns are gone? Who has the monopoly on violence? The bad people.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is Australia, where their laws are virtually watertight in terms of gun ownership. You have to jump through 17,000 fire hoops like an acrobatic dog. You have to swim 1,000,000 kilometers. You have to be able to breathe in farts for 3 days solid.
Oh.
And you have to fill in 7 million papers to get a gun in Australia. And guess what? This still happens. to prove my point. So it would appear shots were discharged from a car into a crowd that was standing outside the nightclub. So it wasn't as if this was just a straightforward assassination. It was a drive-by shooting, in which many other people could have been hurt. It's a horrendous act, said somebody. It's a busy nightclub, one of the main nightclubs in Melbourne, that one of the main entertainment precincts in Melbourne takes part in. The 37-year-old security guard was taken to hospital but died soon after. A 28-year-old man was in a critical condition, while two others, aged 29 and 50, had a non-life-threatening injury. So, it was not believed to be linked to terrorism. Although they've had some of that in the previous few years as well. So Australia and New Zealand seeing an upsurge, if you take that hideous mosque violence that we saw earlier, the gunman who went into that mosque in Australia and shot it, New Zealand. And now we see this in Australia, not good for these very safe countries at the other end of the world. And Carl, on that story, says, I heard it's not safe in Australia. You don't even need to put a fence around your pool. Utopia, he says. It's great. All right. So that's all the stuff you need to know today.
Very good.
Let's get to Ben. I know he's got a bumper crop of sport for us this morning with the Masters. And the Bitcoin and Ethereum price, just for those interested, $5,181 for a Bitcoin and Ethereum at $169. Ben, over to you.
Tiger Woods is the greatest sports person of eternity, ever, history, the universe. Use other big words.
Is that it?
That's your headline.
Mind you, how do you top that?
Well, it's really quite simple. One of the great things about sport is that much is there for debate. And it's what makes sports fans so, you know, connected and social, that kind of stuff. But Tiger really is the greatest ever. He is the 2019 Masters champion.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. 11 years since he was ever a major champion. Tiger was going to be the greatest of all time as a golfer, right? At the age of 21 in 1997, he got out there at the Masters and he absolutely obliterated the field. It was just Tiger and then just a whole bunch of other guys in way too baggy shirts. Mm-hmm. Tiger, he blew them all away. And after that, I mean, between the years 2000 and 2008, he won 12 major championships. Jack Nicklaus' record of 18, that was never going to stand. Everything was just, the records were just going to have no sway with Tiger. He would just write them in his own way whenever and however he wanted. But then life happened. He felt the peer pressure of getting married and having kids. And then obviously with that came all the call girls, all the other sort of stuff. And his life deteriorated terribly. With that, he had major physical issues. He had 4 back operations. He eventually had a fusion. 2 years ago, the guy was found sleeping at the wheel of his car on like pharmaceutical stuff and booze, and he was an absolute mess. He didn't know whether he was coming or going. Mm-hmm. And as early as 2 years ago, he didn't even know if he could play golf ever again because he could barely walk. So you throw all this together and the fact that he has come back and he won this tournament last night, and look at it against his contemporaries at the moment, the best in the game. Now the thing about Augusta is that you can't just go there and sort of like throw it around a bit. You've got to be of real quality. And the leaderboard from last night was just amazing. I mean, Molinari is one of those guys who you look at and think he just has no weaknesses. Unfortunately, with the pressure of Tiger, he choked it really badly. But like new talent, like Xander Schauffele, this guy is very, very talented, and he showed it this week as well. But then you got Dustin Johnson, world number one, Brooks Koepka. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is supremely good. Really, really phenomenal. Jason Day has finally come back into it. Tony Finau is having the week of his life as well. And then Ricky Fowler, Patrick Cantlay, Bubba Watson, Justin Thomas, all guys who... So Tiger didn't just beat a bunch of guys who were having like bad weeks. He beat a bunch of guys who were at the top of the game. So this really is it.
This is a terrific comeback story. And most of us had written him off. I mean, we thought, you know what? There's no way this guy can come back now. He's advanced in years. He's up against much tougher competition.
Completely, Gareth. I did. I didn't see this happening. I didn't see him ever getting into... winning a major again, because to win a major you've got to have everything going, plus you need a little bit of luck and you need the other guys not to be as good as you. There are so many different factors there, and these are the best golfers in the world, and that they condition themselves for this event every single year. But Tiger's 43 and he never gave up. This is the whole thing about the story, is that he never gave up in a time where it's become so fashionable to give up and show excuses. Tiger's only excuse was that he hasn't done it yet. That was his whole thing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. When he shot 70 at the start of the week and he was nowhere, he wasn't exactly leading the tournament, mm-hmm. he said, the last four times I've won this tournament, I've started with a 70. So this is a good start. The guy knew deep down, because he's fought through so much and he just believed in himself so much, he knew everything was going just fine. And even though other guys were coming and going with really great rounds and doing amazing things in the course, he just sort of like, you know, bided his time. He knew what it took to win this thing. He only shot a 70 in the final round, which isn't exactly incredible. His weekend rounds 67 and 70 were solid, but he just had the composure where everyone else was trying to make a charge but eventually just faltered. So 43, the guy still has the passion and like the desire, and he really just wanted his kids to see him win a major. Of course, all the majors he won were before his kids were really around.
Did you see that picture? He went straight to his son.
Yep.
To hug him.
Just like he went straight to his dad in his first victory in 1997.
I think that was sweet.
This guy is just, he's just so much for the sport. He's so much for life. It's just, I know deep down he had his days where he was a bit of a doer. So no one really liked him and he was just way too competitive. But that's the thing that gets you to the top. This new Tiger, the fact that there is a new Tiger is something to really celebrate. And the fact that he's won the Masters, it's just absolutely incredible. You're going to battle to find a bigger sports story, or for me to speak coherently because I'm obviously quite caught up by all this, but you're going to battle to find a bigger sports story in your life than the one of Tiger Woods. It started out incredible.
Beautiful.
It went through the lowest of lows. I mean, the guy was just, he was being
it was embarrassing.
Shamed.
There was pictures of him on
everything was embarrassing about this guy's
looking
life.
Drunk and high and yeah,
and all the girls that he plowed through, all of them. So many.
Plowed through.
No, he really
so
did.
I mean, he was agricultural, the sheer number of women that he went through.
Ben, phenomenal. Not to box him, but...
I mean, phenomenal numbers, not in ethics, of course. You carry on, sir.
Do you think this is his peak? Has he peaked already? Do you think
how do you go bigger than... This is what's so great.
But this is such a good question, sir. It's like, what is his peak?
Right.
Was his peak 10 cool girls a night? Was his peak winning the Masters at 21? Is his peak coming back at 43? Was his peak avoiding the 9-9 coming at his head from his wife in a fit of rage?
That's what makes
this
the story
great. This
guy's
story is just the best. It is
the best.
The
it's
best.
Triumph. Good for Tiger. I am now the biggest Tiger Woods fan because of this.
Tiger Woods is the greatest.
He's proven that all of these people who were so judgy, all these people who were saying, yeah, look at Tiger Woods. First of all, you can pretty much tell if you are the kind of person who loved Tiger when he was 21 and he won the Masters, and you hated Tiger in the middle of his affairs and his prostitutes and all the rest, and now you love him again, you're just an inconsistent twat.
Well, you're
that's all I'll say.
You're all with
you.
The punches. Like as I said, and I'm putting this out there because I will admit it, I didn't see Tiger ever winning another major again. I didn't even see him winning another golf tournament again because he was so far gone. Wow. And golf, I felt, had moved on. But this is the thing. This guy is golf. So he'll tell you when he's moved on, and therefore golf can move on because he still is.
It's beautiful. The rest of us can shut up and take a lesson.
Exactly. But his story is so human. And as I said earlier, his story is that you don't give up in life. That's not one of these things. It's become such a big deal for people to give up and give you crap excuses and say, oh, but I can't do this, and oh, but this is so sore. Tiger, his life was in an absolute toilet, and physically he could barely walk. Four back operations. Mm. I'm contemplating one, and my life's about to die. This guy's at four, and look at him there, still there, at 44. Sure, he's lost hair, but the guy is still the greatest thing in all of sports.
He is balding now.
Yeah.
But it's an endearing type of balding.
Who cares? He's just going to wear it. The guy's got... this is something so special about this. And there really is just nothing else to add.
How much did he win?
He won $2.07 million.
Ha, Baba. You could be bald as an eagle with that amount of money.
I mean, see, he could buy the top part of your head if he really wanted to just
come
have
to
hair
Papa
again.
Tiger. Come to...
Yeah. So with that, It's just the biggest story in golf right now. Just a side note to that, my friend Justin Harding, we've been talking about this guy in the last year, right? He was ranked like 700th in the world this time last year. No chance of, who knows where his career was going to go. He won twice in Swaziland. He went on the Asian tour. He did super well there, having some wins there. He then won the Qatar Open earlier this year to get his European tour card. And he got the top 50 in the world rankings, which meant he got to the Masters. He was in contention like the whole time, basically. He was under par for his first three rounds. He had a 72 on Sunday. And again, this is a guy who no one heard of. There was no picture for him on the pre-tournament stuff on the website. They eventually found some old picture of him like 10 years ago. So Justin Harding finished tied 12. He birdied the last hole, which means he goes back to the Masters next year. He was the top South African player. Incredible. And Sia, he won just 3 million rand.
Three rands, not dollars.
Yeah. But he finished tied 12th. He won 3 million rand.
You said he's bad. Your friend, right?
Yeah. But okay. Like this guy's story. That's not so long ago, he was playing for Red Jackets with me and a mate of mine in a Christmas classic with like old dog hair on. And now look at him. He was actually at Augusta and he was in the final groups. Just absolutely sensational. And that's it, Gareth. There is nothing bigger in sport right now. I know there was other stuff, but Tiger Woods, if you don't understand golf or you're one of those people who go, I hate golf because you feel something cool to say, just take a moment to look at what this guy has achieved and just how much interest is around this tournament. I put a lot of hype and interest in this because I'm a golfer, but I think anybody who's got half a brain, a mind, a heart or an eye,
right,
nice mix of things to have there, would have appreciated what happened yesterday at the Masters.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. Very good. That's half a brain, a what, a heart or an eye.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's get to Anthea and see what's going on with your money, all right?
Anthea
Gardner, first thing on a Monday morning, she's working hard for your money, and this morning she's going to tell us all about what's going on with business confidence, Naspers, and a whole lot of other company news. Good morning,
yes,
Anthea.
Good morning. Nice shortened week we have this week, so there's not going to be a lot going forward, but last week we had quite a couple of things. We had the IMF downwardly revising global growth forecasts, projecting slower growth for 70% of the world. So it's coming to a halt, this excitement, and South Africa, of course, hasn't taken advantage of it. I mean, despite the lower GDP growth forecasts, the stock market's still rallying quite hard. You know, on Friday we closed, the all share closed at 58,400, and the highest ever we've seen was 61,500, somewhere around there. So we're getting back to the high levels again. We started the year on about 50,000, so we're 8,000 up from 50,000, which is nice.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Not lovely about the downgrading of the expectations for growth. I don't like that at all. That's not good news, but, you know.
But I wanted to show you the disconnect between the economy and the stock market, actually, which is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see, we'll talk about Pick and Pay in a minute. There's a couple of things that that drive our stock market but don't drive our economy, like Naspers, for example. Naspers is now close to its all-time high again.
It's not connected to South Africa, you
there
see.
You go.
And if you are connected to South Africa, in particular to anything that has government's hand on it, it's going to go down. Business confidence, you said, is at the lowest level in 7 months.
Yeah, how sad is that?
Right? And that's unbelievable.
That's electricity blackouts,
right?
Right? That's what you get.
That's what happens.
And you can imagine business confidence as being a leading indicator showing what's going to happen, because it's a survey done of managers and what sort of orders they're putting in, how they feel, whether they're ordering, whether they're employing, whether they're rolling up for higher sales, and they're not. And that's the bottom line. So things are still not looking great. I mean, wow, to think that over a year ago we had Ramaphosa, now it's all nowhere.
Come on, Ramaphosa was like that shitty character that Marvel tried to wheel out to us. No one really believed that crap.
Didn't we?
No,
oh,
please.
No, clearly we didn't, right?
No, well, neither did international investors.
Yeah.
I mean, just Ramaphosa.
Just the word alone. So bad. Okay. in company news, though, we are seeing, and by the way, pretty much our market, results season is over. You know, there's not much going on. The U.S. is just starting up now. But we did have Pick and Pay put out a trading update last week because they've still got to report their results. Group turnover is expected to be up by 7.1%.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. Diluted headline earnings per share, because that's how we measure things, right? Headline earnings per share, not profit, not revenue, earnings per share. Well, profit, but earnings per share, because we are shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
Growth was up between 20 and 30%.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, And
how did they do that?
Exactly. What is Pick n Pay doing that nobody else is doing? And I think there's a couple of things. So if you've seen Pick n Pay roll out their stores, they've got these like, and I don't want to say they're competition for Woolworths, but they kind of are, right? If the economy's tough and you don't want to shop at Woolworths, you're shopping down a little bit, but you don't want to shop kind of right at the bottom end. So you kind of just step down into a nice store.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There are these slightly more specialized stores of theirs, which are definitely a pleasure to shop in compared to the below that level.
Absolutely.
Shops, yeah.
So the ones I've been into in Cape Town, the Waterfront, and in Joburg, the William Nickel store,
yeah,
the
that's
one
right. the
is it near
Way.
Peter Place?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Peter Place, no, not Nickel
right.
Way. The
no,
one
no, I know which one on, you mean. It's called something on.
It's like a superstore. It's yeah. amazing. Yeah. Anyway, and then of course lots of promotions. I think is what Pick n Pay have also been doing, and kind of course that's going to help them. So, no doubt they're going to be taking market share from other food retailers. And then on the mining, Sibanye Stillwater, which used to be called Sibanye Gold, remember that?
Yes.
I almost forgot that now. Raised last week $120 million when they did a private placement, obviously after market close. They always do that just when you think you're done for day, you get a phone call or an email from their banker. And the banker says, we're doing a private placement. Would you like some shares? And then you have to go and figure out how much you want and at what price, or if you even want. I didn't take up any, I'm pleased to say, even though they offered it to us at a 2% discount to the average price, mm-hmm. so at 15 rand 50. And in Froneman's words, he said the enhanced balance sheet flexibility provided by this transaction will ensure that the company is appropriately positioned and sufficiently robust to endure any socioeconomic challenges. So
what he's doing is insulating the company against
and shoring up his balance sheet.
Sure.
The market's not believing him, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the share fell the next day. It really was not good. I think a lot of people took it up thinking that the share would stay where it was and they could close or materialize that discount profit.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen, unfortunately. And then in Nigeria, they're up to their old tricks again with MultiChoice this time.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. So they're saying they're withdrawing the previously granted 3-year license granted to GoTV in Nigeria.
It's really hard to do business when the government keeps shifting the goalposts.
I know, right? It's impossible.
You know, this is, again, governments should leave business alone. The moment they get involved, they screw it up. MTN has had unbelievable trouble in Nigeria. Some of it which they don't deserve, some of it which they probably do. But the fact is, you cannot do business on shifting sands.
Yeah.
And it seems that whenever the Nigerian government need to leverage some money out of people, all they do is they squeeze business. And then business has to pay because they're in already too deep.
And you don't know how they're going to make it up or where it's going to come from.
No.
So you can't even kind of put it into your balance sheet or discount numbers in your balance sheet for what is potentially going to happen.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of people I know who've gone to Mozambique by car. What you have to do is you have to keep an envelope of cash on you. And you have to just hand cash out to a whole bunch of criminals along the way who are going to try and extort you for various reasons. That's what it's like doing business in Nigeria. You just have to be willing to bribe.
And sometimes you get lucky.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because last week, on the other hand, a Nigerian regulator released the Visiphone 800 megahertz spectrum to MTN.
See, I mean, so it's obviously those bribes worked. I mean, I'm obviously speaking tongue-in-cheek, but
well, I hadn't thought of it, but now that you mention it.
Oh, there must be something. Tell me about...
Because this is quite a big thing for MTN, actually. So they had 2 million customers or subscribers, and they were waiting for the spectrum because they bought this other company. And then they thought they were never going to get it, and now suddenly they've got it. And the upside is fantastic.
Tell me about EOH, because that's been a horror story
for the last little while. We spoke about them last week as well, didn't we? The share fell almost 20% the other day, last week sometime. They posted an update saying that profit would decline by 993%.
My God.
900?
Give me an idea of what that means. If I bought a share at 100 Rand, what would it be worth now if it had declined that much?
Well, I can tell you it's worth 9 Rand or something.
God. That's awful.
Oh no, this is just, this has been the worst story, this EOH story. It's just horrendous. I mean, so there's a couple of things. So they're saying that their revenue has remained stable at 8.4 billion rand.
Yeah.
But they're writing down a whole lot of things, you know, so losses on business identified at closeout last year, IFRS changes, Lubashi empowerment transaction cost them 1 rand per share, which is not a lot considering. It's just equity account that they, equity investment in Zimbabwe they're writing down as well. There's just a whole lot of stuff. All of this on top of the bribery allegations from a couple of years ago, it's just not looking good for EOH at the moment. Mm. And their poor new CEO, I mean, he just goes from bad to worse, really. He jumped into the fire. He really did.
Uber?
Yeah. So Uber are planning an IPO, an initial public offering this year. They're going to raise about $10 billion, which makes it the biggest IPO so far this year. Pretty much puts it very close to the top of the IPO list globally across the world. It's very exciting. But I think investors are really skeptical because everyone's wondering. So even a $10 billion IPO, how much they're raising, values the company at about $100 billion.
Wow.
And I think analysts
these
are just
numbers
going,
are just extraordinary.
But how? How do they even get to that number? You know, it's a very difficult one. And it doesn't help them that Lyft, the other, what do you call it?
Competitor.
Yeah. Whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Company.
Taxi cab company.
We're here for you, Anthea. Yes.
Thank you. They IPO'd last year at $72, and on Friday they closed below $60 a share. So you can see that analysts and investors are starting to worry about how they generate revenue, how they stay competitive.
And these exaggerated values, clearly.
Unbelievable.
All right.
I mean, I keep saying, like, when are we going to stop looking for silicon unicorns, right? I mean, Silicon Valley unicorns, it's just unbelievable.
Well, everybody's hoping for that next big one because we've
exactly
seen other people
it.
Making money.
Fear
and greed. That's all that drives this.
I did look up, by the way, the 10 largest IPOs of all time. Do you want to know what some of them are?
Sure.
So in the top five, there's only one US company, and in fact, it's fourth on the list, General Motors.
Okay.
First up, Alibaba.
Right.
They raised $21.8 billion.
Sure.
Yeah, not bad. Eh? And they've just kept going. Agricultural Bank of China, mm-hmm. they raised $19.2 billion. Wow. Commercial Bank of China, do you see a trend here?
Yes, China.
China.
And then the fifth one is NTT Docomo.
What's the fourth one? What's the
General
American
Motors, the General US Motors. General Motors. Okay. And the fifth one, NTT Docomo, which is a Tokyo-based telecoms company.
Hmm.
And then sixth, we have another US company, Visa.
Mm-hmm.
And the other US company at ninth was Facebook.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, so let's just talk quickly about Levi Strauss. I mean, we all wear jeans. What's happening there?
I have a question. Does everyone still wear Levi Strauss?
I don't know if they wear Levi's, but they wear jeans. I mean, these are the guys who invented jeans,
yeah,
right?
They're the original guys, yeah. Because I have Levi's and I love them. And I always think, like, do people still wear these? Or am I so far behind in the fashion?
I think they do.
Okay. I'm going to go with that. Right. Thanks, guys, for making me feel better.
You're still cool, Anthea.
Why is the company not looking good?
No, it's looking great, actually. And I'm surprised by it because they're such an old company. They IPO'd last year. So this was their first quarterly reporting last week. The share was up 7%. And mostly they said they're going to revitalize their company and start selling not just jeans, but tops is particularly the one that grew. And they're going to move into different regions. So the two very outstanding kind of features of Levi's results were that their top sales increased by 28% and that they're moving into Asia where sales grew like also in the double digits, a phenomenal amount. So
fantastic.
Yeah. So very exciting to see such an old company kind of stable, reinvent itself, I'd say.
All right. There's a quick message here for you from Alexander. He says, morning, guys. Have you watched the Theranos documentary, The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley? It's like a fire fest for a medical startup. It's about how Elizabeth Holmes
became the world's youngest self-made billionaire, heralded as the next Steve Jobs. Then just 2 years later, her multi-billion dollar company was dissolved.
Oh.
Wow.
If you haven't watched it, you must
You have
watch
seen it.
It. Yes. Okay. It is brilliant.
And then a couple of people saying, I wear Levi's all the time. Three or four messages coming through right now.
Okay.
So it's not just you, Anthea.
Thanks for the support.
And just one last quick thing before you disappear. Listen to Dangote telling everybody on a television interview. He was at the Mo Ibrahim Foundation, and he said he withdrew $10 million just to prove to himself that he had money. Because, you know, a lot of these people, their money's in the balance sheet,
story.
You know? So their money's in the bank, and it's on paper. But it's not actual money. So here he is talking about this. Listen to this quickly.
Money now, but I guess it doesn't matter now because for you it is numbers in the banks, you know.
That's the interviewer.
You look at your bank statement and, you know, how many zeros here or is not here or there.
But I don't even look at that at all.
You don't even look at that, but it's okay. But when you made your first million or 5 million, how we deal with that? When you made your first million or... 5 million or...
You know, the way it is that when you first start business, your target is to make your first million. You know, okay, fine, I did that. But, you know, after, you know, a year or so, I realized that, look, I have much more than 12, 13 billion. You know, and I said, okay, fine, all these numbers are just written numbers.
Yeah.
You know, and one day I went to a bank.
Yeah,
you know, at that time there were no restrictions of this, and I wrote a check and cash $10 million, and I took it home
for yourself,
for myself. Yes,
cashed $10 million from the bank.
Yes,
yes, and took it
and put it in the boot of my vehicle.
Yeah,
and I went home and I opened it and I look at $10 million. I said, okay, fine, now I believe I have money.
Isn't that amazing? So he just withdrew $10 million in cash so he could look at it and see for himself.
That's fantastic.
Isn't it great that $10 million in cash fits in your boot?
Oh, yeah, that's another point.
I'm surprised he didn't dive into it.
Isn't that great?
Put it in the bathtub.
Well, he might have, like Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, yes, in the big safe.
But I do think that's kind of cool. So there it is. That's how the world's really super rich think of money. All right, thanks, Anthea. We will check in with you on Monday next week.
Really?
No, actually, because we're on holiday on Monday next week, so there's
Easter.
No money shot.
Have a good Easter weekend.
All right. Well, you'll let us know if anything important happens, even though we don't have our appointment on Monday.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. There's Anthea Gardner. The money shot. Mondays, except on public holidays. The Naked Economy is back, speaking of money. In this episode, it's a brand new series, Shane presents Ernie with a case of a tech startup that's kind of like a dating app for small businesses. The age-old advice of build a business that solves the problem you have served to be critical for some young mavericks who believed there had to be a better way of connecting investors with aspiring entrepreneurs. It is another great episode of The Naked Economy, which is brought to you by Naked Insurance. Go and find out more at cliffcentral.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And by the way, if you subscribed to The Naked Economy on Apple Podcasts or any of those, then it will arrive a fresh episode in your episode list today. So go and take a listen. And I would suggest that the best way for you to listen to our stuff is to just subscribe on whatever podcast service you prefer. We're on all of them. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple, we're on Google, we're on the whole lot. So if you have a device that uses any of those, then it is available to you. Just go subscribe and review the stuff as well. We never ask you to do that, but occasionally it might be nice to have some reviews because, believe it or not, there are people who believe them. There are people on the internet who go, it's got 5 great reviews, I might just try this. You know, some of us like to know that other people have tried things out first and made sure that they are working and good. Gareth, what happened to the Monday Mulholland report? Well, you know, I saw Rich Mulholland last week. No, 2 weeks ago. He popped in. He was busy here. He travels so much that the guy is extremely difficult to nail down for this Monday thing that we used to do with him, the reality check. But we're going to talk to Rich. I tried to arrange a meeting with him in January, and I still haven't seen him for a meeting. So I promise you, once we do get him to sit down and figure out what the schedule is, we'll try to figure something out. I know people like him and he's very, very popular. So we'll see what we can do. And we've got Bernard with a question about relationships, which we are all called upon to help solve. That's coming up next. We'll also check in with Leanne Moll on some of the big stories in the news. And you can call us. You can message us 0797482090. Send us a voice note if you prefer that. It's all there
and you can use it at your leisure.
This is CliffCentral.com.